Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13. The description of the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. Text number 1. Sri Sutta Uvacha. Nisamya Kosara Vinno Paravinditam.
Nisamya Kosara
Dhruvasya Vaikuntha Padadirohanam.
Dhruvasya Vaikuntha Padadirohanam.
Purudha Bhavo Bhagavat Yadokshaje.
Purudha Bhavo Bhagavat Yadokshaje.
Prashtam Panastam Virura Prachakrame.
Prashtam Panastam
Virura Prachakrame. Sutruvacha Nisamya Kosara Vinno Pavarnitam.
Nisamya Kosara Vinno Pavarnitam.
Dhruvasya Vaikuntha Padadirohanam.
Dhruvasya Vaikuntha Padadirohanam.
Purudha Bhavo Bhagavad Yadhoksaje. Prashtam Panastam Virura Pachakrame. Sutra Vacha. Sutra Goswami said, Nisamya, after hearing, Kosharavinha, by the sage Maitreya, Upavanitam, described Dhruvasya, of Maharaj Dhruva, Vaikuntha Pada, to the abode of Vishnu, Adirohanam, ascent, Purudha, increased, Bhavaha, devotional emotion. Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adhokshaje, who is beyond the reach of direct perception. Prashtum, to inquire. Punaha, again. Tam, unto Maitreya. Vidura,
Vidura,
Vidura, Prachakrame, attempted. Translation. Sudha Goswami continued to speak to all the rishis, headed by Shunaka, said, after hearing Maitreya Rishi describe Dhruva Maharaja's ascent to Lord Vishnu's abode, Vidura became very much enlightened in devotional emotion, and he inquired from Maitreya as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As evidenced in the topics between Vidura and Maitreya, the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees are so fascinating that neither the devotee who is describing them nor the devotee who is hearing is at all fatigued by the inquiries and answers. Transcendental subject matter is so nice that no one becomes tired of hearing or speaking. Others who are not devotees may think, how can people devote so much time simply to talks of God? But devotees are never satisfied or satiated in hearing and speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or about his devotees. The more they hear and talk, the more they become enthusiastic to hear. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is simply the repetition of three words, Hare, Krishna and Rama. But still, devotees can go on chanting this Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day without feeling fatigued. So here we've heard some wonderful discussions about Dhruva Maharaj going back to the spiritual world. And this is only accentuated the devotee's desire to hear more. Just recently my second daughter, Krishnamayi, came back from India. She's a nurse down in the Monash critical care unit. And anyway, she went with a friend to India, and they went to Vrindavan and Mayapur, and they first arrived in Delhi, and because Delhi is, they didn't realise, because Delhi is one of the most dangerous places on earth for a woman, especially two, she was travelling with a friend, especially two single white women. anyway, somehow or another Krishna protected them. but anyway, she was travelling with her friend, who is also a nurse. And when they returned, her friend said to her, I want to know so much more about the Hare Krishnas especially. And so my daughter said, we'll go to the temple, you can meet my father. And she said, I hope he doesn't mind if I ask him a lot of questions. And my daughter immediately said, oh no, he'll like that. see, they're hesitant, I'm going to ask them so many questions about Krishna. So they're not sure, maybe that will be disturbing. But for a devotee, very relishable. They look forward to that opportunity. So, here, it is being described that generally people don't have much to say about God. I was hearing one comedian speak about this, and he was saying that, once he was in a hotel and someone brought up the subject about religion, that I'm not sure which was it, Abraham or Moses, one of them had two sons, one became the leader of Judaism, one became the leader of gradually their dynasty became the leader of the Muslims. So he was the person, when he heard this, he thinks, well, it's probably his round to shout, and he's saying this to distract us. So that's all they wanted to hear. that's as much interest they had in the topic of religion. Let's get back to the real business. Who's had that? So, when it comes to talking about, it's quite often said, in just your ordinary circles in this world that, there are two subjects you don't talk about, with friends and relatives, and that's religion and politics. You just don't talk about it. It's not polite. You're going to spoil the mood. You're going to spoil the like that. So, but what do they talk about? And my wife, Sri Murthy, was saying that, you know, when you take the children to school, sometimes you have to associate with the mothers. And, you know, it's very difficult. So, you know, they're ordinary mothers, they've got teenage children and what have you. And literally, they talk about their sex life, you know, the meat they're eating and how they went out and had so much. They'll tell you these, you know, that's their usual conversation. There's no shame in it, and that's just common, it's normal at that. It's very hard for a devotee to sit there and hear that for 2 minutes at that. But, and if you interrupt that conversation, the talks of religion or something, you know, then you're a disturbance to the whole social group. You know, something very strange. So, but you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, taking instruction from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he came specifically into that environment to introduce that we would just talk about Krishna and nothing else. And, so that's quite a, you know. But what Srila Prabhupada found, as he had understood from the scriptures and from personal experience and from hearing, that actually the topics are very relishable. They are very relishable. You know, the topics of material life based upon, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, generally they just, you know, one's whole life is just burning in anxiety because of, you know, if you hear people talk about these subjects, they're not talking about it with, you know, how they enjoy, but usually the problems associated while they were doing these things. and causing, you know, just all sorts of catastrophes all over, you know. You know, so they'll speak about how they were drinking and, you know, they had the hangover and you know, and so many different things, you know, so many different things. So, you know, just their whole life is burning in anxiety and suffering like that. But that's... But, you know, the relief from that blazing fire of misery is to actually hear the topics of the personality of Godhead. Because our platform of enjoyment is not the body. Because we're a spirit soul. That's the first teaching of Krishna to Arjuna. We are a spirit soul, so our platform of happiness is on the platform of the soul. And as soon as we accept the platform of the body, whether living or dead, you know, those topics of conversation as our platform of happiness, we will only lament. And therefore Krishna said to Arjuna, you know, those who are actually wise, you know, learned persons, they don't speak of these topics. They, you know, you're speaking about these topics, but those who are actually wise, they don't discuss these topics. That's not their topic of conversation. And they neither lament for the living nor the dead. And nor, he said to Arjuna, you know, once, you know, getting him onto the spiritual platform and discussing the nature that you're an eternal soul. He said then, all the religious principles that you've heard, even in the Vedas, you can just be indifferent to that as well, because they're all based on the bodily concept of life as well. So, you know, don't discuss those. Just be indifferent. instead, be established in the self. And then, of course, the Bhagavad Gita goes on to describe that what is the happiness of the self, and that is meditation upon the Supreme Self, or Krishna. So, and devotees, once they begin to hear about Krishna, so in the beginning, as Prabhupada says, we may think, okay, I'm going to spend my life and hear about Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So my life will be centered around three words, Hare Krishna and Rama. My whole life, 24 hours a day, if I become associated with those, will be centered around three words. So that's a very limited understanding, because Krishna is the personality of Godhead, the source of all things. And Hari is the spiritual energy of the personality of Godhead. Both unlimited. And Krishna expands in varieties of forms himself, beginning with Balaram, Rama, and all of these. It's said that God is one, Krishna is one, but because by nature he is blissful and pleasure-seeking, then he has expanded the variety of spiritual existence. And even in this material world, which is the shadow of the spiritual world, he has expanded the variety of spiritual existence unlimitedly to expand his pleasure. So therefore, if we discuss the Supreme Lord, we always discuss him along with his energy, because that is the proper understanding of the personality of Godhead. So we say Hare Krishna. So when we speak of Krishna, we speak of Hare Krishna, or Krishna and his energy. This is one of the difficulties why the people, when they, if the topic of the Supreme Lord or God, comes into the conversation, they have nothing to say. There's very little to say about God. So that's one of the problems. They don't know. But to discuss God, you actually have to discuss his energy. Then, an unlimited variety of spiritual existence opens up. So what is God's energy? Oh, God's energy. Where do we begin? God's energy is spiritual. Eternal, Satchidananda. His energy is non-different from his own qualities and non-different from him. He is eternal and his energy is eternal. So, the question is asked, where does everything come from? Where does the material creation come from? Where does matter come from? We go back to the original point, and we see that Srila Prabhupada explains this, that matter is produced by spirit. So, spirit is quite an intriguing element, because actually all of matter, it is produced from spirit. Srila Prabhupada gives examples, just like a lemon tree. The lemon tree will produce so many lemons. It's producing so much matter. If the soul is within the body of a little baby, he will grow, and the body will grow and expand. So, the source of all material creation is spirit. And therefore, the scientists, unless they understand that point, they'll never find the origin of creation, because it's actually spirit, which is a source, you know, from which matter rests. And the nature of spirit is that it's eternal. It was always there. And spirit is sat, chit, ananda. Chit, it's conscious. Spirit is actually eternally conscious. It's alive. So what a wonderful, you know. So, you know, we can talk about, you know, fire and earth and so many things, but when we talk, what is this spiritual element? It's a conscious, eternally conscious element. And therefore, because it's conscious and eternal, it's blissful and pleasure-seeking. And the complete whole of that spirit is Krishna, and he is the personification of Satchidananda. And from him, his own spiritual potency manifests the variety of all spiritual creation, because variety is said to be the mother of enjoyment. So, therefore, you know, just like at the beginning of every class, we sing Jai Radha Madhava. Madhava is Krishna, but he is always associated as the husband of the goddess of fortune, or the beloved of the gopis. And Kunja Bihari, that, you know, God is not just floating above a cloud with no home. You know, by his spiritual energy, he is enjoying, Kunja Bihari, in the beautiful abode, spiritual abode, which is filled with unlimited variety. Gopi Janavallabha, Kunja Bihari, Kishore Nandana, Bhajajana, Ranjana, in the spiritual world. So, in the Brahma Samhita, it describes that all of the inhabitants of the spiritual world are expansions of Krishna. That means that, you know, because Krishna, the source of the energy, is not different from his energy, they're expansions of Krishna's spiritual energy. They're also Satchidananda, and therefore they are one with Krishna. So all of the inhabitants of the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada says, they're all one with Krishna. None of them are less than Krishna, because they're all one with Krishna. They're none different from Krishna, because they're expanded from his spiritual energy. In fact, to taste the varieties of bliss, of love, the devotees, they want to love Krishna, and so they voluntarily, they take so many different relationships with Krishna, such as, you know, passive or neutral, like the trees in Goloka Vrindavan. You know, there's this beautiful background for spiritual bliss, for the activities of spiritual life. You know, when you want to do something, just like if we want to do something spiritual, we come to a temple. That is the back. That is the perfect, you know, background. Or if we're at home, we make a little temple in our home. Or what we have learned from the temple, we try and take that with us. So we create, we remember that, even when we're in the office, where we're remembering, you know, oh, this morning I went to the temple, I chanted Jai Radha Madhava, we heard Srimad Bhagavatam, we had some prasad associated with it. We remember that as even while we're in the office. Just like people go on holidays. And all year long when they were, yes, I went to Bali, I went to Hawaii. The devotees, yeah, this morning I went to that we don't have to wait, you know, a whole year for 2 weeks off. Every day is a holiday. But that, you know, that place is conducive. So the spiritual world, Krishna, you know, he's not an industrialist. You know, in the spiritual world, God can do anything, but he hasn't filled his abode up with industry. He could. He could have very successful factories and lots of employees. But he hasn't done that. In fact, he specifically avoided that. If we can, because Krishna also brought Vrindavan to this world. But because of the nature of our attraction, we try to fill up his Vrindavan with industry and pollution and so many things. That is our nature. And we think, oh, now we have improved. We have improved. Those, you know, the beautiful waters of the Jamuna and the lakes and the ponds and all the flowers, and then there's so many varieties of bees and birds, and you know, we can barely imagine, you know, perhaps if you go to the zoo and you hear all the animals, but you can barely imagine the beautiful sounds and the aromas coming from the flowers. Because, you know, again, because quite often when we smell a flower, there is no scent, you know, unless you, you know, because, you know, I know my wife and I, a friend of mine who was run a nursery all her life with her husband, when her husband passed away, she gave away a lot of her flowers, and they had these beautiful old English roses. And I've given some to the devotees, like a little bit of the plant, but you smell them and they're just strong. People, you know, devotees smell them and they think, what perfume have you put on that? Because it just hits you like that. But in the spiritual world, we can't imagine the beautiful aromas that are coming and like this. And everything is self-effulgent. There's no need for the sun or the moon. Everything is self-effulgent. And everything is conscious. The trees are called kalpa vriksha trees. So the trees are there, but they're also serving Krishna in, you know, to assist his pastimes. And the cows are Sarabi cows. Sarabi cows means that, you know, if we want milk, they will produce it as much as you want. There's no running out. And whenever you want. So generally Krishna milks his cows at a certain time. But that doesn't mean that they can't produce milk after that, if it's required. That Prabhupada says that. You know, as much as you want, whenever you want, and so many, you know, so much variety in the flavours of milk. It's not being homogenised. Which a lot of people like to do with their spiritual life. Homogenised. So, now, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that how is it that these kalpa vriksha trees, they can fulfill all your desires? He says, because they're spiritual. So he explains that. If you, Srila Prabhupada says, if I ask you to get me some water, then you'll go and bring me some water. If I ask you to get me some milk, you'll go and bring me some milk. If I ask you for some juice, you'll go and get some juice like that. Why? He said, but if I, you know, if I go to the apple tree, I can only get apples if I want more. So although they're spirit, but as a spirit soul, conditioned by the body they're in, so the spiritual qualities are sort of covered. They're not acting on the spiritual platform, they're acting on the bodily platform as a tree, very limited. They can only produce in a limited way. But the more our spiritual consciousness is developed, we can do so many varieties of wonderful things because spirit has that ability. So in the human form of life, our spiritual consciousness is developed to the best degree that even we can take up that service to Krishna and understand these topics about Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, like that. So these, because every living entity in the spiritual world, they are fully developed spirit souls. They're not limited by a material body. And their form is not different from their self. So there's no limitation. So they can serve Krishna fully according to their desires. And some living entities, except the they like to serve Krishna as friend or servant, and some as a parent, because in the spiritual world, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's the source of everything, his constitutional position is that he is the Supreme Father. That is his constitutional position. All living entities are his children, manifestations of his little part and parcel of his spiritual energy. So they also have that Satchitananda quality. So he's the Supreme Father. But because his devotees want to serve him, they want him to be their, they want to be the parent. Because the nature of a parent is that they're always serving the child. And the child is always demanding service. Those are just constant, never ends. And you know, although Krishna is constant, he wants to take, he's happy to reciprocate with the loving transactions of his devotees, and they take a superior position than God. So, you know, the impersonalists, those who do not understand Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and they say, yes, God is one. Yes, God is one. But that's only half the Vedic mantra. There's more to that mantra. God is one, but he's expanded as many because he's pleasure-seeking to expand his transcendental bliss. That is the full mantra. God is one is just a part of the Vedic understanding. And they think God is one. You know, we want to become one with God. Srila Prabhupada says, we don't want to become one with God. We want to become greater than God. More than God. Not for the for the sense of our own personal betterment, but because in that position we can serve God eternally with love. In that position. And he is so kind that he will accept that. And just like, you know, we see this picture of Arjuna on the back, you know, from the very beginning of the of our, you know, the interesting thing about the Bhagavad Gita, although it is the ABCs, but actually you see a glimpse of the full manifestation of spiritual philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita from the very beginning, because Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. He's saying to Arjuna, I am Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Arjuna's there, and Krishna, his chariot driver. So from the very beginning of our understanding of Bhagavad Gita, we, you know, it must dawn on us, God is so kind and so loving to his devotee, he puts his devotee in the superior position to reciprocate that love, that Arjuna wants to serve Krishna. And Krishna, although he's God, he is accepting a subordinate position to accept that loving reciprocation. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he gives an example that, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes a child, you know, might like to, you know, to bring the slippers for the father or the mother, or, you know, to feed the parent. Sometimes you see little babies, maybe even, you know, 2 years old, and they'll take the spoon off the parent and they'll put it in and they'll put some in the mouth of the parent, and they start feeding the parent. So I've had that done to me. And you know, yes, I'm quite competent to feed myself, and usually when I feed myself, I don't rub it all over my face, as you've just done to me, and drop most of it down my, in a nice, clean, white dhoti. But we accept that because the child, you know, is really offering their love. I want to look after you, mum, dad, my dad. And it is that that we accept. So Krishna, he does the same thing. So, but although he's the Supreme Father, he's reciprocating the love because he wants his devotee to become greater than him. So any parent, when they see their child, they think, you know, my wish is that you do so much more than I have done in life. So much more. You become so much greater than me, then I will be happy. Of course, the Vaishnava sees everyone in this world as, you know, part of our spiritual family. You do better than I do, you know, like that. And that is the mood of Radharani. So Srimati Radharani also, you know, she wants to, bring people to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in the mood of Radharani to bring people to Krishna for service. So Krishna, he wants Arjuna to be in the superior position because of his love. So he's saying to Arjuna, all these people on this battlefield, they're already killed by my plan. None of them will go home today. But you become my instrument and you take the credit. And then you be the hero. Who is the hero of the Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna charging into battle, great hero. Krishna is the actual one who did everything. But I'm just a chariot driver for Arjuna. He is the hero. I'm just a chariot driver. So this variety of loving exchanges, where love is always increasing and ever fresh and new. In the spiritual world, every step is a dance, every word is a song, and everything is ever fresh. This is the nature of the spiritual energy of the personality of Godhead. So, strangely enough, it's what you would expect if you talk about God. Something wonderful, something beautiful. They say God is love, but when you talk about the spiritual world being the perfect place for eternal loving exchanges of unlimited variety, they say, no, that must be legend. It's exactly what you'd expect from God, but when you present that, there's a none of that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself, and he appeared as the son of Sachi, still demonstrating the same little picture into the spiritual world. But although he's Krishna, he likes to be known, addressed as the son of Sachi. Mother Sachi is like the mother of the Sankirtan movement in one sense. He likes to give credit to her. So he has distributed this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by distributing that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he has allowed everyone, not considering anyone's background, not considering anyone's qualification or disqualification, anyone who wants to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it will purify their hearts, it will give them so much transcendental bliss and taste that the thought of wasting their life drinking the poison of materialistic life and materialistic association will be very, very abominable. And they will just be very, very eager to, you know, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra while meditating upon the unlimited nature of Krishna, Rama and Hari, like this. So, and here again we see that Krishna doing the same thing, that actually this Sankirtan movement, it's already spread by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like the Battle of Kurukshetra. It's already, Krishna's already arranged it. The Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya has spread it, that will be. But he is saying, but you take part and you take the credit. We know Krishna is doing everything, but he wants that. You take part and you take the credit. Of course, you know, we can take this credit that I have given my energy. Krishna is doing everything, but I am giving my energy with love to the Lord. I know that he is doing everything, but I want to cooperate with him with love, with all my energy, with all my heart, my mind. So, you know, we can, yes, that is our, you know, therefore there are five factors in any endeavor. Krishna says that. He doesn't just, in the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't say it's just me. He says there's me, the superstar, but there's also the doer, the you. You get the credit. And your endeavor, your energy, you put that for me, you get the credit for that. See, nothing is impersonal in spiritual realm. But, you know, I used to, there was one verse, there was one sort of understanding that helped me a lot in the early days of Krishna consciousness. You know, those days when you felt like sitting down and crying because, you know, you know, yes, I'm going to become, give my whole life to Krishna. How far will I get? It's not easy sometimes. Going out on Sankirtan with Aniruddha Prabhu, you know, we had some very, very difficult days. But I used to think that, you know, Lord Chaitanya has already done it. So, you know, I have no real ability. If I can just get carried along with the movement, I'll be okay. You know, the movement has a life of itself. If I can just stay part of it, now how do you do that? Don't make any big demands, you know. Don't try for something. Just try and be a humble. There's a little service to do. Yes, I can do that. Okay, there's another day. I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. Tomorrow I'll find a little service to do. The little prasad. Yes, thank you. Somewhere to lay down. Yes, I can do that. Okay, all right. I can do that. If I can do that day by day, perhaps I can, you know, go the distance. You know, and be in the Hare Krishna movement long enough for my heart to become purified where I can actually understand, even just get a little glimpse of the glories of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Good question. There's a couple of things Srila Prabhupada says about that. That, you know, therefore he does say that, therefore, because we're restless, therefore there are so many varieties of activities that we can do. And so we have big festivals and so many services in the temple and preaching and so many things to read and like that. The books are very important because they, you know, if we have doubts or things that cause hesitation in our hearts, by hearing, you know, these wonderful Krishna conscious philosophy, it does enthuse our ability to chant. So Prabhupada says, one who hears perfectly, they will chant perfectly. So the more we hear from the Krishna consciousness you know, about Krishna, you know, from the devotees, the more we definitely like to chant at that. So, so you know, as we've tried to explain a little bit this morning, is what is this Hare Krishna? Hopefully, there's a little inspiration. We think, oh yes, I can't wait to chant my next round. So that hearing, Prabhupada says, one who hears perfectly, they'll chant perfectly. If the hearing is not sufficient, the two things Prabhupada puts in hearing, insufficient means we're not hearing enough, and the other one is the quality of hearing, which means you know, really wanting to hear attentively and properly like that. And from devotees, you know, hearing from devotees, not just hearing from anyone who's like that, hearing from devotees who are properly situated, and hearing in quantity, you know, sufficiently. You know, quite often when I do a little ceremony, I always like to ask the Indian family that, you know, do you read the Bhagavad Gita? And quite often they say, oh, I did once, or my grandmother did. So, you know, once and then finish like that. But, you know, we're in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, I think, a discussion on the Grihasthas. One of the principles of family people is that they should constantly hear in their home the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a daily affair. And Prabhupada mentions that in India, they did that. They actually... every day, you know, the grandparents and the parents, there was, and the village and the community, every day they were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata and Ramayana like that. Every day, it was just, there was no TV, and they heard that. So, you know, sufficiently. So when we hear sufficiently and from the right persons, that is very helpful for chanting. And the other thing is that, you know, Srila Prabhupada considered that... you know, like preaching, that's also chanting. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, predominantly we should chant the name 16 rounds a day and be always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's Naam Kirtan. And then there's Rupa Kirtan. Glorifying the form of the Lord, you know, glorifying the qualities of the Lord, glorifying the pastimes of the Lord. So, in essence, you know, this, when we do Srimad Bhagavatam, that is not different from the Hare Krishna mantra. That is also chanting, that is chanting Hare Krishna. Although we chant so many topics, that is chanting Hare Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada went to, you know, he said one time, if you're typing on the typewriter, clickety click 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 click, and you're typing describing Krishna's glories, he said that's all chanting. So, in that sense, you know, because we may not be able to. You know, have the taste, because the purification, the more we chant, the more we become purified, and of course, the more we become purified, the more we can chant, sit nicely and chant, and have that taste. But if we can't just sit and chant Hare Krishna, at least we should chant our minimum, chanting 16 rounds, and then we should try to preach, and then we should read and repeat what we read. And all those different varieties, and you know, the many of the activities that we do are also service to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, by establishing very soundly this Srila Prabhupada's movement, which is the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're serving the distribution of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all over the world, and that is very, very powerful in the holy name, you know, awarding that mercy, you know, Krishna awarding that mercy, that taste and realization like that. So there's a variety of different components there. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Anybody? Prabhu. Yeah. Do you? Is that, yeah?
Restless.
Yeah. Restless, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a rest. It comes back to restlessness, yeah. We're very restless. And, yeah. So this.
The proper. And you can see the sincerity and the desire to serve in his disciples, and so he, as you say, he arranged the circumstances so that would facilitate us coming to the point of being able to chant 24 hours a day, which is really good Swami's recommendation. That's a good point that what we do is service to the chanting Hare Krishna. So we'll gradually get to that point, even though we may not be qualified at this point.
And that, you know, what you're saying, of course, echoes, you know, what Narottam Das the course is. You know, actually, that's how an advanced devotee thinks. Narottam Das the core, he's thinking. You know, although he's always chanting, just like you're always chanting, but still he's thinking, why have I no taste for chanting? Why have I wasted my whole life? You know, why have I just drunk poison like that? You know, why have I no taste? You know, Krishna has descended in the you know, as Lord Chaitanya Balaram has descended as Lord Nityananda, and they've distributed this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and I have no taste for it. So, you know, to always be chanting and yet to be thinking, I have no taste. That is what we want. That is how the acharyas think. And that lamentation, if we could all have that same lamentation, then it increases our ability to chant. Yeah. Any other questions?